The move points toward a broader effort by producing nations to internalize precious metals flows. Russia has used similar tactics before, most notably in palladium, to tighten supply and reshape market pricing. With additional actions emerging across BRICS and Asia, these policies suggest a developing squeeze on available physical gold at the same moment sovereign demand and monetary stress are intensifying.
Welcome to the Morning Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey, where each morning Vince brings you the financial and precious metals news to get you ready for your day. And now, here's Vince.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Vince Lancey. This is the Goldfix Market Rundown at 7:40 Tuesday morning. There's the homepage. We'll be discussing top right-hand corner how Russia can and will squeeze the global gold market given the opportunity. And also, we want to make a follow-up comment on Dan Galli's report saying that the silver squeeze is pretty much done and the platinum pump, for lack of a better word, may be coming. But first, let's look at the markets. 10-year, that's palladium, by the way. 10-year yields are down nothing. The dollar is up 2. S&P 500 is down 4. NASDAQ is down 65. The VIX is up a little bit. Gold is up 12. Mid-range on the high end. Silver is up 50, gaining momentum. Those two markets were lower during Shanghai and caught a bid at 4 a.m., which, by the way, is indicative of Shanghai. Talk about that in a second. Copper down 5 cents, WTI up 20, natural gas down 10, as the profit taking really emerges. I guess the cold wave isn't that bad. Bitcoin is almost perfectly unchanged. Ethereum the same. Palladium down a buck and three quarters. Platinum up a buck. Gold, silver at 71 and change. And the grains are mixed with corn up a penny. That's palladium. In 1999 to 2001, it was squeezed by Russia. We want to discuss that a little bit and give you a preview of what we just sent out to subscribers. So Russia's escalation of gold supply restrictions may signal the start of a coordinated sovereign squeeze on physical metal heading into 2026. Now, this post that we just sent out examines the escalation of Russia's proposed ban on gold bar exports beginning in 2026 and why it matters for global bullion markets. Taken alongside Moscow's existing scrap export ban and China's withdrawal of gold from SHFE circulation, the warrants, the move points toward a broader effort by producing nations to internalize precious metals flows. Russia has used similar tactics before, most notably in palladium, to tighten supply and reshape market pricing. With additional actions emerging across BRICS and Asia, these policies suggest a developing squeeze on available physical gold at the same moment sovereign demand and monetary stress are intensifying. But there is more in that post. We include a complete dossier of the palladium squeeze Russia participated in early 2000s. Now, it's easy to call it Russia squeezing us and demonizing them, and I'm all for it as well. However, far be it for me to accuse Russia of manipulation. It's not manipulation when you tell people what you're going to do and you do it. All they did back then was let the market force the West, to recognize Russian pricing power and snap out of their denial at how important Russia and South Africa were to the palladium trade. We know it. We lived it. Now they're aiming to do the same with gold, we believe. Putin, if nothing else, is a world-class commodity trader. He did it with palladium. He did it with nat gas. And next he can do it with gold. And this time he's not alone. He's got China on his back. That continues in the premium post, how Russia can and will squeeze global gold. Next, news and analysis. Yesterday, India says silver is money. That's a story about, it's a news item, actually, out of India describing how they are encouraging domestic holders of silver to use it as collateral for loans as opposed to just selling it to get the money. So that's a restriction on supply. TD's Galli, silver squeeze done, platinum pump next. We'd like to talk about that for a second. The term, in the context of the silver squeeze concept being over because of the large inflow of metal into London. We'd like to address that on the merits of, on the future of the LBMA and the future of Western pricing power. The term liquidity gets used constantly in finance. In many cases, it is overused. Still, it matters. Liquidity referring to, do we have enough silver to deliver? Do we have enough money to pay our bills? Liquidity means the ability to transact in a timely fashion. It means having cash or cash equivalent assets on hand to meet normal business demands. Most firms manage liquidity on roughly a 90-day forward basis. That is standard operating practice and basic risk management. But illiquidity, left unresolved, becomes something far worse. It becomes insolvency. There is a simple rule in finance. If you are illiquid for 90 days, you are insolvent. In fast-moving markets, even 30 days can qualify as insolvency. Why? Because being illiquid means waiting for incoming receipts before paying ongoing obligations. It means telling creditors and counterparties, spot me 30 days until our cash comes in. That can work temporarily as long as the inflows ultimately offset outflows. But when those offsets fail, when receipts do not cover obligations, the business is no longer illiquid. It is insolvent. The principle applies to money, and it applies equally to inventory. In silver's case, the inventory is the money, or increasingly, it is increasingly being viewed as money again, evidenced by the Indian news. So when analysts say the LBMA is illiquid, that's true. That its inventories are low, that's true. And that it struggles to source metal within 30 days, the response should be simple by the members and the LBMA itself. Source the metal. Activate supply chains. Pay whatever is required. Bring inventory in. The LBMA oversees a franchise that is effectively the gateway to Western precious metals markets. But when delivery times are marked at T plus 60, as they were, or T plus 90, as they were implicitly, that is not simple illiquidity being disclosed. That is an admission that inventory is unavailable. That is moving from illiquidity into insolvency risk. Why such a strong word? Because if you cannot conduct normal business for 90 days, if you cannot replenish stock and cannot meet deliveries, your supply chain is effectively broken. And when supply chains break, businesses fail. Now, we are told that liquidity is returning to London. We do not doubt that. The metal is flowing into London, as Daniel Galli says. There is metal flowing back into the LBMA vaults, bottom line. All right, let's assume that is true. But the larger issue remains. When a business delays payment for 30 days, 60 days, or halts transactions altogether, trust is broken. Payment chains fracture, counterparties now move elsewhere, workarounds emerge, alternative channels develop. We are watching that happen now. So even if London's liquidity is improving, its credibility has not recovered. The problem is no longer whether metal happens to be present this week. The question is whether this renewed liquidity is a temporary patch for a structural failure. A refilled vault is no longer enough. What must be repaired now is trust, and trust cannot be revaulted overnight. Will the LBMA actually deliver the metal it has restocked, or will it shift towards hoarding, as others already have? Until those questions are answered, confidence does not return. They are structurally insolvent as far as we're concerned. In that context, can anyone truly fault the COMEX for restricting registered deliveries? The weak link remains London. And unless the LBMA restores durable credibility or is structurally removed from the supply chain altogether, it will continue to be the central source of risk. Not eliminating risk, not absorbing risk, but just transmitting it. That's all it does right now. When a trader is under pressure, personal note, when a trader is under pressure, say a trader at the LBMA, his P&L becomes the primary focus. Can you blame him? Survival takes precedence, and the role of a market maker is triaged in favor of self-preservation. This risk should have been anticipated by the LBMA overseers. Their responsibility was to keep member firms aligned with the task of protecting the franchise, regardless of how heavy the bars were or how difficult the market became. What we witnessed instead was neglect of the very system that is tasked with overseeing a large chunk of Western wealth. London may soon be liquid again. Absent restored trust, it remains insolvent in both supply chains and fund sourcing. There you go. In case you missed it, a ton of stories yesterday. The chat hopefully has plenty to talk about today. We'll be doing an interview, so we won't be able to stop by. And today's news, today's data, job openings. Fed open market is tomorrow. Let's take a look at the metals in context of that. I do want to make a comment about silver to the people in the chat. I did say yesterday that I was concerned, because I felt like the market was being capped, at least for a while in a range. We'll go to the daily so you can see that better. And the market was working out its problems, right? I did say that it's a buy above here, obviously, right? That we're in an 8 and 9 and that this should be support. But if it isn't, we could crack lower. But on the hourly chart, I used in a very explanatory fashion. We were here, and we were actually here when I said it. And I said, this looks like it could be a problem. And it was a problem. And then someone came in and bought it again. That's great. Now, I had sold 2/3 of my speculative risk in this area here. And then it flagged. And I said, all right, well, maybe we're going to have a bear flag, a bull flag lower before going higher. Or maybe this is a bear flag and we're going to go lower first. And you know what? This is the behavior I used to see in gold. You don't see this on hourly charts in silver. I got to tell you. You see this, and then you see the retest, but the retest doesn't hold. And then you see this a third time, and it holds. You know, it's not technically a triple bottom, but you should be long, and it should not hold if it gets to there again. But the point being is that while I believe there is a presence in the market keeping a lid on things just below the highs, there always is. And I think silver is part of that equation now as well. While I think that is going on, I think it is going on for a reason, because someone needs to buy, someone needs to cover. We can all guess who that is. Now, one of the things I did say was, I don't think it's a real silver squeeze yet. And I don't think it is, not until the lease rates spike. Now, I haven't looked at them myself yet, but reportedly, the lease rates popped up to 8% yesterday, which would fit my missing piece of the puzzle. If the London lease rates, that's what matters right now. If the London lease rates spike, then that means they need to lease metal again, or they're looking for metal again, or their leases are up, right? Maybe the ones they got from China are up and need to be renewed, and maybe that metal's not available, at least in the short term. So keep that in mind. Here we are. In the trading range, I mean, it's actually pretty simple, right? Silver has become like gold. There's a ledge. It's being bought. By all rights, it should test it again, but it hasn't yet. So either we're in a range for accumulation, or this 8 and 9 is meaningless and we're going up. So you should be, as I am, long, with ideas of getting longer if the market is allowed to go above the high of 59.33. So maybe another spike to $60 is in order. But look, I had to take off some risk yesterday, and I was long for a while. And when you don't know what's going on, you step out and you get back in if you have to. That's the price you pay. Gold, yeah. This chart actually looks better to me on an hourly basis, you know. That's a daily basis. I'm sorry. On a daily basis, it's like, this is a new structure here. Here, I'll show you what I mean. All right. So you look at this and you say, okay, a high, a retracement doesn't come up and retest it. Fine. Right. Hits it again and fails again. So now you have a seller. You have the echo, probably the same seller lower. And now there's a perception that the seller is there. The market is saying, are you there? The market is pushing on the wall. And I think the next time it pushes on that wall, if it pushes on that wall, we'll hit the highs again. Silver on a daily looks better because it's already done it, right? We're above here. Depth equals distance. My target is 63 and a half on this structure. But this pause here gave me pause in my idea, but it does not give me pause, especially with lease rates in London going up to 8%, if that is true, as Eric on social media said today. Okay, I'm Vince. Have a great day.
Well, thanks for watching this morning's Markets and Metals with Vince Lancey. We sure appreciate you tuning in and starting your day with us here. Hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll see you again tomorrow. Please note that this video is not intended as legal licensed financial trading advice and is to be used for informational purposes only. Please contact your financial advisor before making any decisions, and thanks for watching.